we're in a brand new message series called Core. And Core goes through the basic essentials that you and I need in order for God to bless us. There's core foundational things in your life and in my life that when we do these things, we believe and we bring with it the blessings and the favor of God. Now, there's a secret to this. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I want us to look at the scriptures today because there's a secret to what God does, and many of you already know this, of how God brings His favor and His blessings in play for our lives right here. In fact, I want us to talk about this. The Apostle Paul is writing from a prison cell, and he is in the worst of circumstances, and he is asking God to be able to do something that's unimaginable, that's unthinkable, that seems impossible. In fact, next Sunday, we're going to do the impossible as our church. You have right here this display right here, and this will show you our Discovering Christ Fellowship Sunday is actually next Sunday. Listen, no matter what you do, make sure you are back with us next Sunday. If family's in town, tell them you'll meet them for lunch later on, but come with us because we're going to be sharing with each of us how to take the next steps in our spiritual journey. Some of you have said, listen, Bruce, I've gone through some failure. I'm not sure what to do next in my spiritual journey. Listen, we're going to outline for you what some of the next steps are. We're going to kick it off next Sunday, but it's part of our core series because it is foundational for you and I to be able to experience God at a whole nother level. You see, when we are available for God to use us, God gets alerted to the fact that we are available. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to Him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Notice what it says. "Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than we all ask or think, according to the power that works within us." God is not deficient in anything. In fact, many times the reason why we do not get the answers to our prayers is because according to Ephesians 3:20, God actually wants to give us more than we're currently praying for. And so in Ephesians 3:20, He says, listen, God has some dreams for you. So think of your biggest dream, and God says, listen, I want to trump you with that. Think of your biggest goals in life, and God says, I have something more for you than that. Think of your greatest problems in life. God says, I have a solution to that. Think of your greatest hurts in life. God says, listen, I want to solve those and soothe those hurts. So my question to you is this. What have you been doubting in your life that only God can handle? What have you been doubting? What circumstance in your career, what circumstance in your family, what circumstance in your personal life have you been doubting that it would take literally a miraculous act of God? So He says in Ephesians 3:20, He goes, I'm coming to God because God is the one that can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ask or we could think. God can do more. God can do blessings more. God can do it abundantly more. God can do it far more abundantly. When He says He wants to do it more, that means God wants to take you further than you can imagine. When He says He wants to do abundantly more, that means that God wants to do it at another level, that God has no reserves, that God has nothing that's going to exhaust Him. I mean, when has the power of God ever been exhausted? When have the blessings of God ever been at their lowest? You see, God is limitless in His power and His availability to be able to do in and through your life and my life what we cannot do in ourselves. So God's intention, God's agenda is to be able to look for people that are willing. Look for people that are available. Look for people that have screwed up and messed up. Look for people that have taken some wrong choices and directions in their life and have said, listen, God, previous to this, I've not surrendered this area to You. But God, now I'm surrendering this area to You. God, before this, I've controlled my finance. God, before this, I controlled my dating life. God, before this, I controlled my marriage. God, before this, I controlled my career. But God, I'm bringing these things, God, back under Your control. God, I'm bringing them back. And God, I will only do what You've called me to be able to do. And so God's intentions is to be able to look for people that are available and for Him to place His agenda and His direction in and through your life and my life. I was so excited A few weeks ago, we handed out some invite cards, and some people in our church took those invite cards, and they invited some friends of theirs to be able to come, and then those friends came, and they gave their heart to Christ, and they invited some friends to come, and those people came and gave their heart to Christ. You see, God did the impossible when people were available for God to be able to use them. I was so thankful the other day that Brian on our student leadership team, and that's in our band right here, started praying and asking God to be able to do the impossible through his life and reaching kids. And God is doing that. In Ephesians 3:20, it says that God wants to do far more, and he wants to do abundantly than we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You see, there is a force, there is a power that God has that he wants to place in play into your life, into your circumstances. There is something that God has that's available if you and I will allow him, he says, according to the power that works in us. God has a power. God has a dimension. It's not your power. It's his power. In fact, when you and I realize we're powerless to change most of everything, and we surrender our lives in that area that's gone under-surrendered before, when we place those areas under the authority of God, God says, listen, I get excited because my power comes into play. There's a problem, though. And the problem is me. You see, I alone can tie the hands of a powerful God. I alone can stop the blessings. I alone, when I say, God, I'm unwilling to allow you to be trusted in this area. God, I will make it up on my own. God, I will do what I want to do. I alone can stop the forward motion and the blessings and the favor of God for my life. I told this story several times, but it's interesting that it goes right here with this as well, because several years ago, I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and I actually was stepping into my apartment. There's a small little foyer area, and there was two apartments per foyer, and the lights were off in the foyer when I stepped into the foyer, and I fumbled for the keys, and I unlocked the door, and the lights were off, and suddenly in front of me, there stood this giant man. There was this giant man that was standing in my apartment as I opened the door. I moved to the side just for a moment, and he moved to the side. I moved to the side a little bit more, and he moved to the side, and he was standing in front of me. I said to him, who are you? And he said nothing. I said, what are you doing in my apartment? I could tell my voice was shaking. I was fearful. I said, what are you doing here? And the guy didn't move. He didn't say anything. I thought, if I'm going down with a fight, I'm going to pick up my briefcase, and I'm going to let this guy have it right in the face. And right before I did that, I remember there was a light switch right inside my apartment, and I was right at the door threshold, and I flipped on the light, I grabbed my briefcase, I went to be able to lunge and hit the guy, and suddenly I realized I was standing in front of the full-length mirror that I'd installed a week before. I literally almost killed myself. And you see, it was me. I was the issue. I almost killed myself. I almost did damage to myself. And that's how most of life is. A life that's unsurrendered is a life where I'm calling the shots. A life that is powerless because I didn't have the power of God, his full force and thrust of his life into my circumstance, into my marriage, into my finances, into my life, into the biggest problem, the biggest goal, the biggest circumstance of my life. And so I come empty. Even when I think I got it under control, even when I think I got it managed, it is an unmanaged life. It is an unmanaged marriage. It is a powerless career. It's fragile at best. It's one account away from going south. It's one statement away from disconnecting emotionally. It's one circumstance away from your child not following. And so what I've decided and what Ephesians 3:20 encourages us to do is to be able to say, listen, God, I need your power at play. But it requires three things. It requires three things for the favor of God on my life. It requires three things for the blessings and the favor of God on your life and on our church's life. It requires praying impossible prayers. Have you ever prayed an impossible prayer? He says in Ephesians 3:20, he says, listen, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask. In other words, when I start asking God, it is the starter fuel that excites Jesus to upgrade my plans. He says he wants to do more than I ask, but it starts when I ask. So people from time to time will say, Bruce, would you pray for my Aunt Susie in town? And I say, I'll be happy to, but are you praying for Aunt Susie in town? Are you asking some big time audacious prayers? Are you believing God? How many hours have you spent? Well, man, she has cancer and we're just praying. Really, how much? If it all depends upon God, if his power is available, if it does not depend upon me, then the question is, how much am I willing to ask God to do what only he can do? And so he says in Ephesians 3:20 that we're to pray some impossible prayers. Prayers that require faith. Prayers that require not our best attempts, but prayers that require a sense of desperation. They're stretching prayers. They're impossible prayers. They're not acute, precise prayers. They are prayers that I don't stand a chance prayers. They are, I'm getting a divorce if God doesn't come through prayers. They are, I'm going back to snorting and stripping and smoking kind of prayers. They're the kind of prayers for your life and my life that if God doesn't come through, that we're toast, we're history. So no wonder the scripture keeps saying over and over and over again, when you pray, you cry out to God. Psalm 2 verse 8, he goes, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Psalm 86, 7, he says, in the day of my trouble, I will call or I will cry upon you and you will answer me. Psalm 91, 15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So Isaiah 65, 24, it shall come to pass that before they call or they cry, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Jeremiah 33, 3 says, cry or call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. There's no greater power than a desperate prayer coupled with a powerful God. Wouldn't you agree? And so he says, listen, in Ephesians 3:20, he goes, I am going to start by asking God to do what seems impossible, knowing full well that God is going to do far more abundantly than what I could even ask. Several months ago, I started praying that God would give us 50 teenagers in our student ministry. He said, Bruce, why 50? I don't know. I just kind of came to my mind. I just started thinking about that. Just started praying that God would give us 50 teenagers in our church. We'd never had 50 teenagers. In the year and a half since we started, we'd never had 50 teenagers. It was a miracle we were praying for. It was an impossible prayer. To have 50 teenagers would be impossible for a church start like ours that's just a year and a half old, except as people started crying out to God and believing and asking and praying, this past Wednesday night at our student program, they had 51 teenagers show up. And I think that's a miracle, wouldn't you agree? Say, how'd it happen? Oh, I don't know. You got Adam praying. You have Ashley praying. Laura and Randy have been praying and probably fasting. You have Kevin and you have Rachel praying. You have other people in our student ministry, and Brian and Stephanie and other ones that have been involved and praying and asking God. You just had a whole lot of desperate people knowing that you had an all-powerful God that could do what they could not do. Does that make sense? And so you pray impossible prayers. You want to give you a second thing, though, because it doesn't stop there. I want you to notice what it says. It says that we're to not only pray impossible prayers, not only does God do beyond what we can even ask, but notice what it says, ask or what? Ask or think. It's the idea that I start imagining, I start believing God for impossible dreams. I start trusting and believing in my mind. I think it's kind of mystical. It's kind of different for some of us because we start thinking it to ourselves. Well, listen, I'm going to ask God to do something, but then he says this goes beyond not only what I ask, but what I think. That God wants to be involved in what I think. And so as I'm praying, as I'm asking God for him to show up in the impossibility, I start asking, God, would you give me a picture? God, would you give me an imagination? God, would you give me a thought of the miracle that you want to perform? God, would you show me how life is going to be once you do the miracle in my husband or my wife or my marriage or my relationships? God, how's our children going to act? God, how is our life going to be once, God, you do the miracle in our career? God, I'm just not asking, desperately asking, crying out to you, believing you, but God, I am thinking in my mind what life is going to be like. God, I am picturing in my mind what you could do, that there is a miraculous God. And I don't know why the scripture says it, but there's something that happens. There's something that happens when I start praying big prayers and I start dreaming big dreams. There's something that happens when you start praying big prayers and you start dreaming big dreams. There's something that happens when you start praying the impossible and you start believing the impossible. You start imagining it in your mind. Now, most of you, like me, don't want to get labeled crazy. So you don't want to ever think to yourselves, listen, I'm going to tell people and they're going to think I'm crazy when I tell them what I believe God's going to do in my health, or God's going to do in my marriage, or God's going to do in my relationships, or God's going to do in my kids or my grandkids. That might sound crazy, but there's something about believing and speaking and thinking and saying what God is speaking to you about for your life that he says excites Jesus to where he says, listen, if you're willing to pray those prayers and think those kind of thoughts and live life in the presence of the powerful, all-powerful God, that I'm willing to go beyond what you're even asking. I'm willing to go beyond what you're even thinking. And so he says, listen, I know when I ask, I know when I think that God can do far more abundantly beyond what I could even pull together myself. According to the power that works in us. I want you to see this right here because this is so powerful. Because you see, not only are we to pray the impossible and we're to believe the impossible, but you know what? It's interesting also, we start doing the impossible. You see, God never speaks to us without inviting you onto the journey. So you've heard me say this before. If you hear a message like this one, or you're reading the scripture, or you are in the car and you're reading some scripture or listening to some scripture as I do when I'm driving, I'll listen to some scripture on my phone, or maybe you listen to a message or a podcast. You say, how many of you have ever, when you listen to a message, said, you know, I wish so-and-so, your neighbor, your friend, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your cousin, the buddy you work with. How many of you have ever listened to a message from the Word of God and you wish somebody else could have heard it too? Yeah. See, I used to think that also. But it's interesting, the scriptures, when I hear them, whether anybody else gets anything out of them or not, they're not for anybody else. They're actually for you. So this message this morning is actually for me. This message this morning is not for your brother in New Jersey. This message, now you can send the podcast to him if you want, and it might encourage him, but this message is actually for you. In fact, if you were the only person that showed up this morning, this is the message I'd preach just for you. In fact, if you didn't show up this morning, I wonder where you were. I'd be a little confused. I'd start crying out to God, where's everybody gone? But you know, I'd realize this message might just be for me. You see, many times when the Word of God comes into our lives, we start displacing it for somebody else's journey. We start displacing it for somebody else's faith. We start saying, well, listen, wouldn't it be nice if they also got it? And that's a nice thought, but I don't want to think too much on that because he says right here, he goes, God wants to do far more abundantly. Notice what it says, than we all ask or think, according to the power at work within us. There is a power that the God of the universe has within your life, in my life. And he causes us, in verse 20, it's interesting, he causes us to do something about it. When God's word speaks, he's inviting us on a journey. He's not rambling. He's not throwing out the idea for somebody else to do something with. Listen, when the scripture hits your earlobes, when it hits your heart, it is for you to be able to say, God, what do you have in it for me? God, what is the prayer? God, what is the impossible trust? God, what is the next step you've called me to be a part of? Because you see, it's the power of God in you. It's at work in you. It may or may not be working in anybody else, but it has to work in your life. It may or may not be for anybody else, but it has to be for you. And so he says, listen, I am praying and I am believing and I am looking for God to speak to me. And God, I am surrendered. I am available because when God speaks into my life and I hear what God is saying, I say, yes, God. And God always shows me the next step. And when I'm obedient to the next step, then God shows me the next step. And what comes with that first step is the power of God. And so I'm powerless without the power of God. And so he says in Ephesians 3:20, he says, listen, I've called you into a new walk. I've called you this week into a new lifestyle. There's a different approach now. From now on, I'm taking your marriage. There's a different approach from now on, I'm taking your finances. There's a different approach, I'm taking your relationships, because I'm going to speak to you. And listen, stop, do not do anything until you hear the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, listen. You say, Bruce, what if I get it wrong? What if I'm reading a scripture like this, I'm praying, I'm saying, God, well, this relationship is so screwed up, it is so messed up. God, what do you want me to do? And God says, I want you to pray that God would do a miracle in that marriage. God, I want you to pray that God would do a miracle in your finances. God, I'm going to pray that. And then I'm going to start believing and thinking, what would life be like if God solved that problem? What would it be like if God showed up in that issue? And then I'm going to ask God, God, what is the next step? Because you're going to do a work in and through my life. Your power is going to go through my life. God, there is a next step you've called me to do. And so, God, what is that next step in my finances? God, what is that next step? It might be, listen, I want you to cut your credit card, okay? It might be that I want you to start saving. It might be, hey, you need to start tithing. You don't have the blessings of God because you are trusting in your own finances. You need something more going for you than your own finances. You need the blessings of God. Or it may be some other area, but you're looking for a specific action step. You say, Bruce, what if I get it wrong? What if I think God told me to do this, but I blow it, I get it wrong? God created you. He is your heavenly Father. So even if you blow it, in an attempt to be pleasing to him, what do you think your heavenly Father's response to you will be? It'll be gracious. It'll be kind. You don't have a God that says, oh, I in an attempt to please me, I got them right where that I wanted. They blew it. They messed up. They screwed up. Now I'm really going to sock it to them. No, that's not your God. That's not your heavenly Father. That's not how God operates. And so this Paul in a prison starts believing and starts praying. And he starts asking. And he starts saying, God, what's the next step for my life? Because God, I know there's a power, there's a work that you want to do in and through my life right here. And God, I don't want to attempt a rescue in this area without you showing me my next step. God, I don't want to attempt to redo this area right here without you showing me what my next step is. And I want you to see in Ephesians 4 right here what it says. because it says in verse 1, Ephesians 4, this is the next chapter over, he says, therefore. And when you see therefore, you're going to want to know, you always look to see what it's there for. So because God wants to do far more abundantly than you could ask or think, because God's inviting you to ask, and because God's inviting you to imagine and think about what your journey, what your life would be like if in fact you were living in the miracle of what God wants to do, if in fact you are taking the assignments that God hands you and you're praying, God, what's the next step? And God shows you, say, okay, God, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not, but am I full trust in you? And God says, listen, if your full trust is in me, my full power is behind you. I'm going to put my power at work in and through your life. He says, therefore, Paul says, a prisoner for the Lord, as he is in prison, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. He says, don't stop. This is a great direction for your life today. It's also going to be the direction for your life tomorrow. You know what I have found over and over and over again with businesses and with churches and with friends? Past success without a fresh blessing of God can ruin anybody. You see, in your work, if you don't have a fresh blessing of God on it, a fresh assignment of what you're to do, and you've been successful in the past, the economy may change and take your past attempts and your past program and your past design, your past direction, and it may crush it. It may crush what you've done to have a good marriage at this point. It may crush your kids. It may crush things. And so he says, listen, God, each day I'm coming to you in prayer. God, each day I'm coming to you with a desperateness. God, each day I'm coming to you thinking and imagining what my life is like if you were to do this miracle. God, each day I'm coming to you asking God, what's the next assignment for my life? Because God, I realize where I'm at right now is only by your grace, but I'll never go any further. Your power won't reside in me any further until I take your assignment. And so he says, therefore, he says, listen, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. Each day, God, you've called me to this. Now, in the next scripture, it says to do it with humility and gentleness. At some point in your life, you're going to get it, and then you're going to wonder why everybody else doesn't get it. Have you ever done that before? You didn't get it. You get it. Then you wonder, why hasn't everybody else gotten it? And you think to yourself, why is everybody not dialed in? Why is everybody not tuned in to what I get so easily? The problem is we didn't get it so easily. It took us weeks or months or years for you to suddenly get it. And once you got it, you got it. And then you wonder why everybody else didn't get it. The reason why everybody else doesn't get it is they need the same break and the same time frame that you needed to be able to get it. Does that make sense? You get it? And so he says, listen, do it with gentleness and humility. Once God starts moving in your life, you start believing, you start praying, you start imagining what life would be like if God were to do a miracle in this area. You start moving forward in these areas of your life, and you start saying, God, I'm available, and God, you show me the next assignments, and God shows you the next assignment, and he places his power in and through that assignment, that step of faith that you take with your life, that next step in your spiritual journey, as we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks right here. Next week, Discovering Christ Fellowship Sunday is going to be part of our core series where we start talking about what it means to belong to the family of God. There's four essential things that we're going to find out next week that when you do these things, God's blessings come in a brand new way into your life. There are four things that allow you to be part of the family of God. And then, how do you grow in your spiritual journey? How do you grow in your spiritual journey so when you're growing, you can help others to grow? And then what are you good at? How do you know what you're good at? How do you know what God's gifted you at to be able to serve others? And the fourth thing is, how do you be able to share it with others? how to share with other people what God is doing in your life. So we're going to be going over the next few weeks over those four core components. But it starts with a full surrender of my life to God. And he says, listen, do it with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Unity is never the goal of a church. Unity is never the goal of a company. Unity is never the goal of a marriage. Oh, we just want to make sure we're all okay with each other and everything's fine in our marriage. And that's okay, but it's always a byproduct of making sure your marriage is centered around Jesus Christ, making sure that your career is centered around Jesus Christ, making sure that your life is centered around Jesus Christ. When you are teamed up with somebody else and what's in common is Jesus, as much as you might blow it or fail, God brings y'all into unity. And you try to produce unity centered around any other thing and there'll be a problem. There'll be a heartache. There'll be a missed expectation. And so he says right here, he goes, as we start right here, that you got a generous God that wants to do far more abundantly. And how does it start? It starts as I ask, as I pray impossible prayers. It starts as I believe God for impossible dreams. And it starts as I'm trusting God as he gives me my next step of assignment. And I say, yes, God, I'm willing to believe you in this area. God, I'm willing to do what I sense in my heart you're telling me to do. And when you do that, not until that time, but when you do that, the power of God comes to play in that circumstance. Does that make sense? You see, many times we want the power of God in our lives, in our marriage, in our career. We want the miraculous to happen, and it never happens till we're obedient to what he's asked and invited us to be a part of. And so in Ephesians 3:20, he says, listen, we got a God that's generous. And whatever you could think of, whatever you could dream of, whatever you're praying for right now, God's thinking of something even better. God's thinking of something even bolder. God's thinking of something even more amazing. Whatever you could drum up in your imagination, God is thinking of something he wants to do in and through your life according to the power that works in us that would go beyond what you could dream, what you could imagine, what you could think. What's unimaginable, what's unthinkable, is God started the whole process of his relationship by sacrificing his only son, Jesus. What's unthinkable and what's unimaginable, what seems impossible, is that you and I, far from God, you and I with sin in our lives, you and I separated from God, you and I destined to hell because of our sin, because of our separation from God, that God could only do one thing, and that is he would send his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, to purchase what my good works and your good works would never purchase for us, a place in heaven. And he offers us a free gift. Somebody asked me a question several years ago. They said, Bruce, God forbid, but suppose you were to die tonight, God forbid, and you were to stand before him and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What do you think you would say? At that point in my life, I didn't know what I would say. If I were to stand before God and he were to ask me, why should I be let into heaven? What would I say? I don't know what I'd say. So what could somebody say if they were to stand before God? And they said, you could know three things. Number one, heaven is a free gift, and it cannot be earned or deserved by your good works. And they shared with me that I was a sinner, and I could not save myself. Listen, I know that I have received the consequences of other people's mess-ups in my own life. I know that this world is messed up, and I know that I've contributed to the mess-up myself. I don't need anybody to tell me I'm a sinner because I live in a world where people's sins have impacted my life and where my sins have impacted their lives. And I said to my friend, I said, listen, if heaven's a free gift and it can't be earned or deserved and I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself, I said, where's that leave somebody like me? They said, that's the best part of all. God bankrupted heaven And he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. And he purchased through his death and his burial and his resurrection what your good works and my good works would never purchase for us, a place in heaven, and he offers to them as a free gift.